And the plan I am using to read through all 66 this year, Friday's selection in part included Isaiah 31, verses 1 through 3. Let's turn there together. Isaiah 31, verses 1 through 3. Isaiah 31, verses 1 through 3. Are we there? Looks like it. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and who depend on horses. They trust in the abundance of chariots and the large number of horsemen. They do not look to the Holy One of Israel, and they do not seek the Lord. But he also is wise and brings disaster. He does not go back on what he says. He will rise up against the house of the wicked and against the allies of the evildoers. Egyptians are men, not God. Their horses are flesh, not spirit. When the Lord raises his hand to strike, the helper will stumble. New Bible, can't get the pages to change. Give me one second here. I'm going to have to use both fingers. Can't hold. When the Lord raises his hand to strike, the helper will stumble. Got the pages separated. And the one who is helped will fall. Both will perish together. Here, and it's not the only time in the Bible, God's people are reminded that they should trust him, not other nations. They mistakenly, probably rebelliously, thought Egypt, with great military arms, may not sound like much now, but it was great military arms, horses and chariots, were the way to defend against and to defeat their enemies when they should have turned only and completely to the Lord. We sometimes do that in our own lives, don't we? Short version, be careful who you trust. Be careful who you trust. But what stood out to me in that selection was the beginning of verse 3. The Egyptians are man and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. That is a clear statement that there is an infinite difference between humans and God. Humans are mortal. God is immortal. Humans have finite power. God is omnipotent. Humans have limited knowledge, often less than they think, or I should say we think. God is omniscient. Exactly. God knows all and sees all. Humans are fickle. God is immutable. Humans cannot be trusted. God is faithful. Humans were created in his likeness, but we are not God. Compared to him, we come up infinitely short. So are we all in agreement that we are not gods?
Yes?
Exactly. Even angels aren't gods. Then how do you explain what Jesus said in John chapter 10, 22 through 34? Let's turn there. John 10, 22 through 34. So, Michelle, when we get home, can you turn through every page in this Bible so they don't stick together? Would that be a nice thing you could do for me? Everybody on the internet, she's shaking her head very slowly and slightly no. She won't just outright say no way. So John 10, let's see if I fight with the pages. John 10, 22 through 34. Then the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews surrounded him and asked, How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. I did tell you, and you don't believe, Jesus answered them. The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you don't believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up rocks to stone him. Okay, something he just said didn't go over well. Hey, come on in. Something he just said didn't go over well. Jesus replied, I have shown you many good works. Hello. Good morning. Hi there. Hi there. She doesn't seem happy this morning. I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these works are you stoning me? We aren't stoning you for all the good work, the Jews answered, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, Isn't it written in your law, I said you are gods? Okay, quick rewind. Where we are so far in our sermon is reading through this week's readings in the Bible, how I'm going through it. In Isaiah, I ran into something where it clearly says the Egyptians are human, not, and God is not, right? They're not gods. And we agreed, didn't we, everybody here, that we're not gods, that there's a big difference between God and us. So my question was, then how do we explain these verses that we just read? And really, it's that last verse. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? So on one hand, I said we're not gods, but now another chance, we trust Jesus, we trust the Bible, right? And he just says, you are gods. How do we explain that? God's children might be an explanation. So here we go. Jesus is quoting Psalm 82. I said, you are gods. Now I know it's a lot of Bible reading right in a row in a sermon. But Psalm 82 is pretty short. So let's read it together. Psalm 82. I'm going to read it together. It won't take very long. But we might as well. That's the other thing I think it's always good. It's just like on the cross, Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But it makes sense to read the psalm and get the full context. So in this case, Jesus has quoted Psalm 82 when he says, ye are gods. Let's see what the full context is. Psalm 82. Psalm 82. I was also telling them it's a new Bible, so it's hard to get the pages to separate sometime. There we go. Psalm 82. God stands in the divine assembly. He pronounces judgment among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Provide justice for the needy and the fatherless. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and needy. Save them from the power of the wicked. They do not know or understand. They wander in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, here we go. I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. However, you will die like humans and fall like any other ruler. Rise up, God. Judge the earth, for all the nations belong to you. There you go. Not only are we gods, but we are sons of the Most High. That conflicts with what we read in Isaiah, doesn't it? God saying that we're not gods? I mean, God saying through Isaiah we're not gods? Or does it? First, I want to read to you what The ESV Study Bible says about John 10:34, the verse that kind of started it all when it comes to the ye are gods, at least for Christians, that's usually where we're going to hear it first. Jesus' point in quoting Psalm chapter 82, verse 6, is that if human judges can in some sense, notice how they say this? If human judges can in some sense be called gods in light of their role as representatives of God, this designation is even more appropriate for the one who truly is the Son of God. So what the ESV is telling us is that in this context, they can be referred to as gods. But that's a lot different, isn't it, than calling them truly gods with a capital G? We all know we cannot be inflexible and say that every time we hear a word, it means the exact same thing. We've learned that I don't care what language it is. Every language has the concept that a word can have multiple meanings. Sometimes, because the definition actually changes based on context. Sometimes, because a word is used metaphorically or symbolically. I would suggest, in the case of chapter 10 in John, Psalm 82, that it's pretty much the latter. Just like we could say a fast person is a cheetah, just like we could say a fast person is a cheetah, we can say those who judge are gods. In Psalm 82, we are metaphorically compared to gods, but that is a far cry from actually being called a god. And how do I know that for sure? Let's look back at Psalm 82, verses 6 through 7. Psalm 82, verses 6 through 7. 6 is the problem verse, and it says, I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. But what does the next verse say? However is one of those words that says, well, before you think too much of this, however, you will die like humans and fall like any other ruler. Sure, verse 6 says we, or some humans, are gods. But what does it point out in the very next verse? Nevertheless, they will die. God does not die. And don't let anybody confuse you by saying that God, Jesus, died on the cross. That was a special situation that had to do with the incarnation. The human aspect of him, not the divine part of him, died on the cross. God does not die. We are not gods with a capital G. So far, so good? Before we continue, a quick aside. When I read Isaiah's words about the Egyptians being man, and by the way, if you guys want to see it, that was back in Isaiah, was it 33? 31, 1 through 3. But when I first read Isaiah's words about the Egyptians being man and not God, it reminded me of a song I really like by Vertical Horizon called You're a God. Its chorus goes like this. Because you're a God, and I am not. And I just thought that I would let you know, you're a God, and I am not. And I just thought I'd let you go. Do you see why that song came to mind? You're a God and I am not. What a great reminder of the difference between us and God, right? However, as I prepared the sermon, and I was going to quote it, the final part of the chorus bothered me. And I just thought I'd let you go. That didn't make sense to me. The you're a God and I am not made sense to me, but why then would I tell a God that I just let him go? So I Googled its meaning, and I located an interview with the group's lead singer, Matt Scannell. Matt, well, Your God was written about when we give people in our lives power over us. It could be anything, whether it's a romantic thing or not. This one wasn't. Let me step back. So in every relationship that we have in our lives, there are certain dynamics that exist. On one hand, some people may be more giving towards us, and we're a little bit taking from them. And the balance is constantly ebbing and flowing and changing over time. But there are some relationships that are nurturing, and there are some relationships where, by and large, we do the nurturing for the other person. Then there are some relationships that are largely positive, and there are others that are largely negative. Once, I had a relationship in my life that was largely negative. Has anybody else had that experience? I know I have. And it was a person who had power over me, seemed to be in a position that was above me, a place that was beyond my grasp, whether it's a boss or someone you look up to. And I realized all I had to do was stop looking up at them and start looking down on them. And it was like I took that power away. The power was gone. I had this really negative relationship that was a big source of angst and friction in my life. And it was the most amazing thing to say, no, I don't prescribe to your power over me anymore, and I'm going to let you go. And it was gone. And that's why the song starts off with, I got to be honest. We're covered in lies, and it's okay. It's all okay. But I'm saying it's never going to happen to me again. You are done. You are not a god. Really, the title is ironic. You're a god and I am not. Well, actually, that's not true anymore because you're not a god. I felt stupid after reading that. I still really like the song. And you have a young daughter, not as young as her, but you have a young daughter who you probably would want to listen to that song. Because she could get into relationships, right? And we all might have people, friends and family, that we would like to listen to that song. But until yesterday, I thought that was a Christian song. All this time, they do another one, what's it called? Having a brain cramp right now. He's All You Need or something like that. That I also thought was a Christian song. And it wasn't. It wasn't. What's the moral of this story, this aside? Just because a song sounds Christian doesn't mean it's Christian. Sadly, for other reasons, even, in air quotes, Christian songs aren't necessarily Christian when they're compared with Scripture. That's why we need the Holy Spirit's discernment with Scripture as a basis. Holy Spirit's not going to magically tell you something if you're not willing to open up Scripture for discernment. But that's why Holy Spirit discernment based on Scripture is so important to have, isn't it? So I can still enjoy the song, but now every time I hear it, I'm going to say, why, I was an idiot. I thought that was a Christian song. Let's get back to the sermon. I'll tell you all here. Sometimes you select, like there was a sermon I was thinking of doing this week, but I realized that given the context of our membership, it's not that it would be a waste of your time, but it really wouldn't speak to what we need to hear about. It has to do with this. There's this debate going about, they call it interfaith dialogue. There's this debate. I find it interesting, but it wouldn't necessarily be edifying for you guys to hear. So when you choose sermons, you try to choose something that will help out the congregation versus just be yakking up front. But I'll be up front. I really hope there was no need for in our little congregation to convince you that you, me, and nobody else on this earth is a god. Is there anybody who, before I said that, thought there was a chance of that? I don't think so. Or that we can ever become a god. Does anybody here think we can become a god? If we just get our act together or Jesus? No, good. Thank you, Augustine. Shaking your head no is comforting. But do you realize that there is a major Christian, I'm going to put that in air quotes again purposely, denomination that says you can become a god? Did you know that? Without initially giving their name, this is what they say on their website. Ready? Unnamed denomination. Unequivocally affirm themselves to be Christians. They worship God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. When asked what the unnamed denomination believe, unnamed founder put Christ at the center. Quote, the fundamental principles of our religion is the testimony of the apostles and prophets concerning Jesus Christ. that he died, was buried, and rose again on the third day and ascended up to heaven. And all other things are only appendages to these which pertain to our religion. Does that sound pretty straight up, Christian? Did you hear anything that set you off with that? Confidently saying they're Christian, and that sure sounds Christian to me. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that is orthodox. And by the way, when you start saying about what really, because the gospel has a lot to it. I did a paper once that talked about the gospel and sermons and Acts. And just talk about the gospel before you have to define the gospel. It actually covers a lot. There are a lot of things that gospel is connected with, but those are fundamental with the gospel, are they not? That's Christ's death, burial, resurrection. However, that same website, quoting from a book from one of their past presidents, has this. In the spring, so I want you to listen to this, Cisco, because I'm going to tell you, you have friends in this denomination, whether you know it or not. Ready? In the spring of 1840, Lorenzo Snow was in Navajo, Illinois, preparing to leave for a mission to England. Well, that's good. The guy's going to go on a mission. He visited the home of his friend Henry G. Sherwood, and he asked Brother Sherwood to explain a passage of Scripture. While attentively listening to his explanation, President Snow later recalled, quote, "The Spirit of the Lord rested mightily upon me. The eyes of my understanding were opened, and I saw as clear as sun at noonday, with wonder and astonishment, the pathway of God and man. I formed the following couplet, which expresses the revelation as it was shown to me." Are you listening, Cisco? Okay, ready for the couplet? "As man now is, God once was. As God now is, man may become." I like the something wrong here look on your eyes. Thank you. Feeling that he had received, quote, a sacred communication, unquote, he should guard carefully, Lorenzo Snow did not teach the doctrine publicly until he knew that the prophet Joseph Smith, it's all making sense now, had taught it. Once he knew the doctrine was public knowledge, he testified to it frequently. And by the way, I don't like reading long quotes to you, but it was important to me to get this last paragraph just to show how important it was. Ready? "In addition to making this truth a theme for many of his sermons, he adopted it as a theme for his life. His son Leroy said, this revealed truth impressed Lorenzo Snow more than perhaps everything else. It sank so deeply in his soul that it became the inspiration of his life and gave him his broad vision of his own great future and the mighty mission and work of the church. It was his, quote, constant light and guide, unquote, and, quote, a bright, illuminating star before him all the time, in his heart, in his soul, and all through him, unquote." Remember the couplet? "As man now is, God once was. As God now is, man may be." Does anybody know what the denomination is that believes this? Deb? Mormons. One of their churches is not far from here, just on the other side of the interstate. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Okay, the purpose of the sermon is not to rag on Mormons. When I first searched for our Lord, I actually became Mormon. I was Mormon. And if I were to choose a denomination based on enjoying being a member, I would still be one. No. They're fun to be around. But you choose a church based on truth, not enjoyment. And as your minister, it is important that if you all might be influenced by some of our wonderful, they are wonderful, fellow Strasbourg and area citizens who are Mormons, you understand this fundamental, it's a fundamental, horrendously mistaken doctrine they hold. They are wrong in plenty of other ways. Mormons are wrong in plenty of other ways. But this single heretical belief is enough on its own for you to completely reject the possibility of becoming a member of their church or us fellowshipping with their church. We might do some activity with some other churches here in Strasbourg, but we could not fellowship with that church. even if that was the only thing they had wrong. It is not a Christian denomination. And I say that loving and truly appreciating. Michelle, don't we have some good friends who are Mormon? Loving and truly appreciating my LDS friends. Personally, I don't think I've ever met, I don't know about you, Michelle, I don't think I've ever met a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints I didn't like. I am still drawn to the denomination. It's like a siren call. But truth is truth. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is not Christian. And I didn't write this sermon to say that, but I just think if you talk about the you aren't a God, you can't ignore the elephant across the highway, right? Okay, last week's sermon was extra long when we were talking about tithing, so I intended to make this one short. However, when I reached this point in my sermon, I could see I had gotten to page 9. I'm not sure how long that is, but it's not short. So I'm going to wrap up here and give you a quick preview of what we'll talk about next week, although it might be the week after. I haven't decided if I'm going to do something special in case we get visitors during the Strasbourg days or Strasbourg hometown days. Is that what it's called? So what did we confirm today? We confirmed we are not gods. Everybody agree with that? Good. If you ever start questioning it, I don't care what time, day or night, just call me. We need to talk, okay? And by the way, if you talk to a Mormon, they will have their logical reason and they'll give their excuses. So understand, it's not like they don't have a basis for their thing. They're just horribly wrong. So number one, we are not gods. Number two, something isn't Christian just because it sounds like it. Do we have that down too? So show more discernment than I did with that song. And don't assume it's Christian just because it sounds like it. And that's across the board. Doesn't matter if it's songs. Doesn't matter if it's sermons. Across the board. And number three, we learned or confirmed that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is not Christian. Now notice, I'm going to make a final comment on that. Notice that I didn't say Mormons are not Christians. That gets into a fuzzy area. I believe we will see Mormons in heaven. That's a whole different discussion. That God has ways of reaching people, even in their ignorance. And so we may see Mormons in heaven, and I don't want to imply that that means every Mormon is damned and going to be in hell for all eternity. That's different. It is not a Christian denomination. And it's more dangerous than some denominations because it claims to be. You heard the original statement, right? We're Christians. We can all kumbaya, right? You know what? The last two things I said, something isn't Christian just because it sounds like it, and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is not Christian, aren't they really the same? Whether it is a song or a statement or a denomination or anything else, something isn't Christian just because it sounds like it. We need Holy Spirit-led discernment, equipped with God's Word, to tell us if a song or a statement or a denomination or anything else is actually Christian. But from today's sermon, you really, really, really need to understand that, Cisco, we are not gods. Next week, we'll talk about how us not being gods intersects with Jesus. We know for sure that Jesus was a man. Agreed? That Jesus was a man, we know that for sure. But how do we know from Scripture that he is a God? Because I just spent the beginning of the sermon telling you that humans, hello there little one, telling you that humans are not God. Is it then a contradiction for me to say that Jesus is the Son of God? That Jesus is God? Is that a contradiction? And not all denominations who claim to be Christian believe he's a God. There's another denomination, like the Mormon Church, that came out of the 1800s, that says he isn't. You know them because they're famous for making people cranky because they come to your doors and knock on it. So who are they? Jehovah's Witnesses. They do not believe that Jesus is God. They believe Jesus is a created being, a very special created being. I'm not going to pretend they treat him just the same as you and me, but they believe he's a created being. Next Sunday, we're going to see who is right. Is Jesus God, or really just a special created being?